our heads for a word of prayer.
Father in heaven, we thank you as we come together to worship and to be fed by your word. We pray that your Holy Spirit would touch our hearts and our lives, that we can hear your word and take it to heart, that we can focus on you and not so much on the things of this world. Father, we pray, open our ears to hear, our eyes to see, and our hearts to understand, and our hands to serve. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our gospel lesson today starts off with the words, "And he said to his disciples, therefore I tell you." Now, anytime you see the word therefore, you got to back up and see what came before. And so I remind you of last week's gospel lesson. At the very end of the lesson, we have this man who has had abundant crops. And he says to himself, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger ones, which immediately tells me that this is a parable. It's an unrealistic story because, as I said in Bible class last week, no farmer ever tears down any building. Even the temporary ones last forever. They just put up new ones. So Jesus is trying to drive a point home that this man here is already being foolish. And at the end of the lesson, it talks about a man who says, you know, I finally arrived. Self, what should I do? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to store all of this up, and then I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry all the days of my life. And God says to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? And then these words, so is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich for God. And so Jesus says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on, for life is more than food and the body more than clothing. And he goes on and he says, by worrying, can you even add a single hour to your life? And then this line, O you of little faith. Those are words that should cause some self-reflection and maybe even some recrimination. For you of little faith. What does it mean to have faith? What is faith? In our epistle lesson today, the writer to the Hebrews starts with these words, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We often see the words faith and hope connected in Scripture throughout the pages of the Old Testament and even through the Gospels in the New Testament. Faith and hope. But what is hope? If faith is the things hoped for, what is hope? Well, if we really look at how the word is defined in the Hebrew language, it comes to in two contexts. Hope in the context of man and man-focused things, and hope in the context of God and God-focused things. And hope in the context of man is built on our ability to control our own situation. Anybody here a control freak? Who wants to admit it? I like to be in control. I like things to go my way. I like things to happen as I have them planned out. I'm going to do this here and then this and this, and I'm going to map out this, and I look, you know, what's your 5-year plan and your 10-year plan, and I want to be in control. And then if you know what you know, and I don't do this, but if you buy that lottery ticket, you hope that you win. I don't buy them. You know why? I can't control it. I've always said if I'm in an airplane and the pilots are incapacitated, I'm volunteering to fly. Why? Because I'm going to be in control, and at least, you know, I can try. Besides, I've flown airplanes before. I've just never landed them or taken them off. Hope in the hands of God is completely different. It's not wishful thinking. Hope in the presence of God is it really boils down to understanding that what's coming is out of our control. Understanding that what's coming is completely in the hands of God, and that it requires trust, that is, faith in God, that He's going to carry out the things that we cannot even see, because sight is something that belongs to this world, and what God is preparing belongs to heaven. And we can't see that. And faith requires that we believe, that we have trust, that we have hope in the things that God controls. And hope also requires, and this is a hard one, patience. Patience for the things of God to unfold by His design, by His control. Now hear those words again. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. What is it that we hope for as believers in Jesus Christ? We hope for salvation. We hope for eternity. We hope in the very things that God controls and that God unfolds. That's the whole idea about what our gospel lesson was saying today. The birds don't control anything. They have to what? Depend upon God. We can't control. We can only trust and hope. I got to tell you, I don't know if I've shared this, not with all of you. When my health forced me to step down, there were at that point in time no treatment options. Now I've got my pilgrimage to Mayo Clinic every 6 weeks so they can exchange my blood for fresh blood, and that helps a little bit. But it's like a roller coaster. I'm good for a few weeks and then... By the way, I'm at the room right now because I leave this afternoon for Mayo tomorrow. When I stepped down, I was angry at God because I couldn't control my health and what was happening. Some of you might know, I love serving God. I love being a pastor. And when you can't do the thing that you love to do, it hurts. And sometimes it still hurts. But it also forced me into a place that I'm not sure I quite honestly had ever fully been before. And that is to say, okay, Lord, it's all in your hands because I can't control anything. I have hope. That God is unfolding things in His ways, in His time. And I have a peace. Even though sometimes I'm still mad, I have a peace. That God is going to use me in the ways that He needs to use me to serve Him. What I have in mind and what He has in mind are often two very different things. And so you have to learn to swallow your pride and swallow your sense of I need to be in control and say, okay, Lord, you're going to have to guide my steps. You're going to have to adjust my path. And you're just going to have to let it unfold before me. And on occasion, you're going to have to hit me in the head with a 2x4. Because I'm a little stubborn too. I can't see what God has coming tomorrow or next week or next month. I can do all the planning I want to do, but it doesn't happen the way I want it to. All I can do is trust. That's all I can do. And trust with patience. It comes hard. I put my hope in Christ. And that Him, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness just rings so true. Because I know what hope is. It's God's plans unfolding for my life. I know what hope is. It's trusting that God has what's in store for me. It's the best for my life. It's trusting the things that I can't see, that I can't predict, that I can't control. And it's understanding that God calls me and He calls you to that kind of hope. A hope that's not built in the world or what our hands can do, but a hope that's built solely on Him and what He does. First of all, through Jesus Christ, who died for me, for all of my sins, and for you and all of yours. To hope in a Savior who knows what's best for each of us. And the things that we face in our daily lives, the death that surrounds us, the chaos of the world, begin to be blind to those things and to see Christ more clearly. That's the call. I love the Old Testament lesson too with Abraham, whom God calls to trust Him. And Abraham's really, really old. Older than pretty much everybody here. And God says to him, Abraham, you're going to have as many descendants as the stars in the sky. Can you count them? They didn't have all the light pollution in those days. If you really want to know how many stars there are, get away from all the city lights you possibly can. Go to like the middle of North Dakota. It's amazing how many stars there are. But then the text says this, and Abraham, he's so old that he's as good as dead. Can you imagine being called as good as dead when you're still breathing? It's kind of like, almost like, really? What does Abraham have left? Hope in a God who has His life in His hands. We're all as good as dead apart from Christ. What do we have left? Hope. In a God who has our lives in His hands. In a God who loves us incredibly. In a God who sent Jesus to pay the price for our sins. In a God who promises us everlasting life in heaven with Him. Something we cannot touch or see or feel. And yet something so real. We trust Him. It's a confident hope, not a wishful hope. It's a hope in a God who has certainty in his hands. Hope and faith. We're called to live by faith, that handle that grabs a hold of all of the promises of God and gives us each day the opportunity to say, it's not my way, Lord, it's your way. It's not my life, it belongs to you. I trust you above all things. My hope is in you, not in me, not in the world, but in you. Hope. Think about those four simple letters. Hope. It's sure and it's certain. Hope in the things of God, not the things of man. How hard is it? It's really hard. It's really, really hard, especially when we have to come to grips with what he says at the end of our gospel lesson today. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions. Give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart be also. Ouch. What's he mean? Are we all supposed to, like, go out and sell everything that we have and give it to the poor? I'll let you wrestle with that. Because there are some who would try to twist the text and justify it and to say every other thing. What's he really saying? Take care of the resources that God entrusts you. Be good stewards of them. But the real treasure he's talking about, because there's a twist here in the passage, we think he's really talking about money and all of those things, and he is to some point. And then he says, treasures in the heavens. Oh, wait a minute. The treasures in the heavens aren't the money here on earth. Or maybe I could use bad English, ain't the money here on earth. The true treasure of life takes us right back to hope and faith. The treasures, the things that we value, are our relationship with God and our relationship with each other in the context of church. The treasures that we have focus our hearts on God and not on the world. How many of you have ever been in a point where you go, I don't know how I'm going to pay for this? We've been there as a congregation. I said this in Bible class, and maybe I've said it even in a sermon before, but when I first came to Christ Lutheran, and Al, who was congregational chairman at the time, comes to me and says, oh, here's our budget. And I look at it, and it's a deficit budget. And I think it was right around $100,000 deficit budget. And I went back and I actually looked. Out of all of the years that I served here, all but three of them were deficit budgets. Folks, we're still here. Because our hope and our faith is not in the world. Our treasure is not the treasure of the world. Our treasure is the faith and the hope that we have in God Almighty and our Savior Jesus Christ. And as we focus our hearts on Him, there is our treasure. And God provides for the things of this world. When we live in hope for Him, He takes care of the rest. I firmly believe that. And I got to live that way each day. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know my hope and my future are in Christ my Lord. In His name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the true faith of God in Christ Jesus into life everlasting. Amen.